I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. So you have drank wine on our show before.
Yes, I have.
I drink whiskey with regularity on the show, but we've never had anyone who really knows anything about wine other than knowing how to drink it. Right?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Well, tonight it's something completely different. Hailing from the great state of New Jersey,
right?
The great state of New Jersey, moved to California in 2018, the California wine country, Nikki Lamberti. Nikki is a certified wine professional, a wine educator, and in 2019, she and her partner, Michael, launched the Solovato Wines and are now available. We're going to be talking more about that in a moment. She also hosts her own podcast, not surprisingly named Sipping with Nikki, right?
Sip with Nikki.
Sip with Nikki. Awesome. Well, welcome. We're so happy to have you, and we can't wait to drink. And I do want to say one thing. We're easily bought, folks. So, so Nikki sent us a bottle of wine,
and
she got right
grateful.
On. It's
not,
I got a fast pass in the queue.
Yes, you did. It's like at Disney World. Yeah. Get right through, skip right through the line. So Nikki, tell us before we get into the wines, what we want to talk about, when wines are good for different occasions, tell us a little bit about your journey into winemaking from New Jersey to being a winemaker.
I mean, it just seems like such a natural progression, right? From New Jersey to making wine, right? There were a few stops in between, but yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This is so fun. Normally I'm hosting, so this is nice to sit back and just get to relax and answer some questions. I went to Rutgers in New Jersey and I had studied environmental science. And the big piece between New Jersey and wine country was Orlando, because I had done an internship, speaking of Disney, at Walt Disney World. That's probably why the fast pass slipped out. It's like you can take the girl out of Disney, but you can't take the Disney out of the girl, right? So I, after graduating from Rutgers, I had done an internship. Disney hired me back, and I was in Orlando for 15 years in hospitality and HR and recruitment and working on the Disney Cruise Line. And during that time, really just became a wine lover. And that kind of went hand in hand with traveling as well, especially spending time in Italy and France with the Disney Cruise Line. So I took my first vacation to Napa in 2008. My mom and I came out here on a girls' trip. And I remember that trip, I was just like, what is this place? Oh my gosh, like it grabbed me immediately, but I had no intention of moving out here. And then like three more vacations happened once a year. And then a magical thing called divorce entered into my life, which I think you guys both know a little bit about in your lines of work.
Yeah, we know about that.
And in 2012, I was going through a divorce and I decided to move out here to California to start over, very eat, pray, love, moved out here by myself and knew that I wanted to work in the wine business and eventually make wine. So that is how we went from Jersey to here. And then there were some steps to complete with education, like a winemaking certificate at UC Davis and things like that. But all along the way, I've been working as a wine educator at a winery that I don't own, that I work at, Pride Mountain Vineyards. I've worked at Pride for 12 years. And this is what I do. Like I host tastings and I teach people about wine. So that's also what led me to start my own podcast, Sip with Nikki, where I do exactly that. So there you have it.
Love it. So I wanted to tell you when I became a wine lover, and that was raising four daughters. It was a necessity that I became a wine lover.
Yes.
So
I am one of three daughters. I'm one of three girls. So I kind of have an idea at another one. And I'm like, yeah, I'm amazed that wine was all you needed.
Yes.
Well, Nikki, exactly. you had a little bit of a challenge to get to where you could actually get your grapes into the bottle, right? There was a storm, a fire, as I recall from reading about you.
So I met Michael about 2 years after I moved here. I met him on Tinder. We both swiped right in 2014. And then I moved in with him about a year later, because when you're older in life, when you know, right? You just messing around. And he owned a home in Santa Rosa, which is where we live. And so in 2017, we had some pretty crazy wildfires all over Sonoma County. People all over the country have heard of Coffee Park, which is the neighborhood where we live. And that one night in October 2017, 1,400 houses in our neighborhood, including ours, were gone in one night. I mean, it was a firestorm. It was crazy. So, yeah, we had just sort of gotten started in this whole startup and small business. And then that kind of set us back for a hot minute while we got our feet back under us. But we rebuilt and moved back into the same lot, but a brand new house now, in less than 2 years. And that was in 2018. And then in 2019, we were like full speed ahead and we launched our wine brand. So a little bit of a detour, but probably stronger for the wear on the backside.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because our second book, which is called Secrets of Strong Couples, really focuses on couples that have gone through really difficult things. So, you know, some trauma, losses of children, infidelity, those kinds of things. And one of the things that a lot of the couples said was, you know, they're stronger for it. So do you think you and Michael, like, you know, pulling together and going through, you know, such a tragedy, are a stronger couple because of it?
100%. Because always, and we've been together over 10 years now, but always, but especially during that, even like the day of when you go into that sort of contingency mode and where are we going to live and where are the pets and what are we going to do? And the word that just kept coming to mind was like, we're a team. We're a team, right? And so we had a rule, and Michael, hopefully you'll get to meet him one day. Michael, I call Mexican Roy Kent. So Michael's family is from El Paso and Mexican. Mm-hmm. I'm Italian, but he works in the ER. He's a trauma nurse. So he's got that tough exterior like Roy Kent, but inside is ooey gooey, soft and squishy, which is why I'm with him. Nice. I, on the other hand, emote off the charts, joy and not. But we had a rule during that trauma that only one of us could cry at a time. So if something was going on and we were having a moment, it's like, nope, I'm crying. You need to hold up. You know what I mean? So we kind of just organically found our roles in that to support each other and be a team. And yeah, totally, 100% better.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a lot of balance. And we have a term for that too, which is like the wide load. You can only, one person has to be the pace car for the wide load. So the wide load is the person that's crying, the person that's falling apart, the person that's ill, and the other person has to make way for that wide load. And you sort of take turns in life, you know, being the wide load.
I love that. I'm going to use that if I may. I've put that in my pocket.
You may.
You steal whatever you want from that.
That's great. It's so true.
So now let's shift to, now that we know a lot about you and how you got where you are, let's shift to the wine, which is
I can't wait to start drinking this.
Hold on.
Well, you can start. You've been very patient. I'm going to talk about a few different wines before we talk about Solovato. But Julie, I know you've had a day. So like,
yeah,
don't wait.
I can take a sip.
Should I
smell it first, or what is that like?
Always. That is a thing. Always.
So I'm supposed to smell it.
And look, we both have the same stemless wine glasses, which is fine. These are great for every day. But even in a stemless, pretend like your other hand is a table, and give it a good swirl.
Don't spill it on. And this is like aerating it.
It is. It really is a thing. It's not just to look like Napa-ish, right? So there's a lot of chemistry in wine. This is all the stuff that I studied. The chemistry is sleeping in there because this wine was put in the bottle last year. This is the 2021 vintage, one in the bottle in 2023. It's been sleeping in
really
that bottle.
Good.
When you get air in there, it wakes up. You smell more and you taste more. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to need more bottles of this. And you're going to tell me where I can purchase them because I can't
I will.
My God, that's delicious. It's so smooth.
Well, she's going to tell us about that in a bit, but she was tell us yeah. about some others first.
Yeah. So there's kind of a
we'll
progression.
We'll drink while
here.
You talk.
But yeah, I didn't want you to have to wait. So enjoy it. Because the other thing I want you to notice is if you're really tasting wine to taste wine, you will notice with a well-made wine, which I can say from firsthand knowledge, this is a well-made wine. As we're sitting here and talking, first sip, second sip, fifth sip, however many you get through, it's going to change every time you sip it. And you're going to notice different things as we're talking because of all that chemistry that's waking up. So
oh my
notice
God, this
that.
Is a metaphor for relationships.
Tell me more.
Every sip is different. It's changing and the chemistry is changing. Oh my
She's
God.
The queen of metaphors.
Nikki,
oh
love Nikki, you're metaphors.
But like you're talking about relationships. All the things that you just said about every sip, it's going to taste different. It's going to change. There's chemical things happening. Like that's relationships.
It is. And I think this also parallels relationships. It's changing for you as the drinker of this wine for two reasons, because the chemistry of the wine itself is changing, the exterior variables, but you're being changed by it because of the effect
yes, in a good way.
Of sipping the wine. So your perception of what it is also changing. And I think that's probably true of relationships as well, right?
Yes.
External
I don't think
and
there's any question about it. Very, it is very nice. And I'm not a wine drinker. We were in Napa.
You like nice wine.
I do. Like don't if drink. I'm at a if I'm having a steak, I'll have a glass of wine with dinner. But I'm more, as you know, as I told you, more of a whiskey type character. And when we were in Napa, everyone was drinking wine. I'm jumping from bar to bar to see if there was a dusty old bottle of bourbon.
You were looking for all the brown water in the Napa Valley.
Exactly. But you enjoyed the
good
wine.
I do. This is delicious. This is delicious. So
well, good.
All right.
Good. This is Sangiovese. So that is an Italian grape. So if you have ever visited Tuscany, Chianti, right, been in that region, typically what you're drinking is this grape. It's just that they don't call it that in Italy because in Italy they call the wine by the place, not the grape. Chianti is the place. Sangiovese is the grape. So when we plant and grow that Italian heritage grape in California, we can't call it Chianti because we're not in Chianti. We're in California. So we call it by the grape, which is Sangiovese. It's a red grape and it's sort of middle of the spectrum, right? So David, you mentioned having cab with steak and we're going to talk about that in a minute, why that's so good. If you think of Cabernet Sauvignon kind of on the deeper, bolder spectrum of red wine and you think of Pinot Noir, which if this was a glass of Pinot Noir, a light red, you could see through it in the glass. That's not this. Pinot Noir would be on the lighter end of the spectrum. We're going to put this Sangiovese kind of right in the middle, which is why it's versatile. And we'll talk about how to use that to your advantage in a relationship in just a moment.
All right. I like that. I like
Very
that.
Flexible.
Yes. Yes. Fluid. Yes. Yeah. Fluid. That's good.
Yes. So we have Thanksgiving coming.
Yes.
And, I guess what's first thing I'm thinking of is there a wine that you would suggest to folks or maybe more than one, you know, during for Thanksgiving or Christmas or during the course of the holidays?
Absolutely. And I get this question all the time, especially at this time of year. And I've done whole episodes on Sip with Nikki about food and wine pairing and why certain things make sense. So I won't get too far into that now, but if your listeners are curious, tell them to go check out my episode called Pairing Schmaring, What's the Big Deal? And that's where I actually like dig into like why is steak and cab good? But here's the crazy thing with a holiday table, right? And I grew up Italian in New Jersey. So if I think about just really any Sunday, but especially a holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, there's a lot of different things on the table. Yeah. So it's not about, hey, Nikki, what wine pairs best with turkey? You're not sitting there just eating turkey, probably not.
Right.
How many different sides are on the table? You've got starch, you've got vegetables, you've got cranberry, which is sour. I mean, you have so many different things. So what you want is a wine that can kind of be fluid and flexible and sit in the pocket. Because if you have a bold wine and delicate food, the food gets lost. And if you have bold food and delicate wine, the wine gets lost. So food and wine pairing is like a couple. You want them to meet in the middle and elevate each other, bring out the best of each other. I just kind of had this like light bulb while I was talking. We've all been in relationships where one is overpowering the other. Perhaps maybe that's why I'm no longer in that first marriage. Another story for another day. But when food and wine can really meet in the middle as far as weight and body and intensity, it elevates the whole situation. Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking for. So for holidays, something versatile like middle of the spectrum, Sangiovese is a great holiday wine on the table. People that are like, I'm a cab drinker, I like big cab, they're still gonna like this. It's a rich red wine. But, you know, Aunt Betty down at the end of the table who drinks wine once a year, who really doesn't know much about it and likes sweet wine, my wine that I make is not sweet, but it's light enough. And Julie, the first thing you said when you tasted it, you said it's smooth, right?
It is. Yeah. It's smooth. It had no like bite to it, which is really nice.
And usually when people are talking about bite in a wine, what they're referring to is tannin, right? Tannin is what gives that chalky, dry astringency, grippiness, which something like Cabernet has more of. And you notice it in your mouth. It's like shrink wrap in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But when you have a steak, salt, fat, protein, right? Those things neutralize the perception of tannin, right? But people are different. People have different sensitivities to tannin too. Like me, especially getting into this world and working here and drinking wines like this almost every day, I'm like, I want to chew my wine, like give it to me, right? Mm-hmm. I don't mind that because I'm usually pairing food and wine together. But something like this Sangiovese, if you are, you know, walking into friends and family, or if you are new in a relationship and trying to show up with something that's going to impress the new potential in-laws, like something like Sangiovese, hopefully Solavato, but any Sangiovese is a really versatile wine that will pair nicely with a variety of different things on the table.
Yeah, so, you know, the average bear who's, you know, maybe having friends and family over for Thanksgiving or for the holidays, you know, is at the local beer and wine or liquor store and is roaming through the aisles, how do they find your wine or those that are similar to that to do what you just said that the Sangiovese does?
Yeah, great question. So they won't find my wine, Solavato, in a store. My wine is very, very tiny. If you turn your bottle around, you'll notice that your bottle's numbered.
Yeah. And oh, wow.
What number do you have out of 870?
730.
Oh, yeah, we're getting close to selling out. So for this year, I only made 870 bottles, which is about 3 barrels of wine. So Solavato is teeny tiny boutique winery. We just sell our wine through our website, Solavato Wines.
Okay.
If people can order, if I ship. I want more, I can go onto your website.
Yes, and I order. Can ship all over the country.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, and folks out there, we're going to include links and all the rest of it in our show notes. So don't worry, you too can be drinking this delicious wine.
Let me just say, this is really good.
It is good. I was going to have some whiskey tonight, but now I'm kind of thinking, maybe I'll
It's
wait.
Okay. If you don't want to finish your glass, I will.
I'm going to finish.
And it's so good with pizza and pasta. So it's kind of like that old adage. And this might also have an application to couples. You guys will have to tell me. But in food and wine, they say what grows together goes together.
So
Italian grape with tomato sauce, olive oil, right? Things that are grown in the same region. Mm-hmm. They tend to pair really nicely together.
You were just full of relationship metaphors. I thought we were talking about wine, and we're also in our area of the world. So
I love that.
Well, you know, since we first met and talked about doing this, I mean, I can talk about just wine all day. Clearly, I get excited about it. But I've really been trying to wrap my brain around in preparation for our conversation today, just kind of those parallels, right, between wine and relationship and how to pair them. So yeah, that's where all this stuff's coming out of.
All right, so now let's shift away from the family gathering and the 19 sides on the table, and we have New Year's coming. We have Valentine's Day not that far around the bend. Before you know it, that's coming around the bend. So, you know, it's a romantic time. It's a time when two people want to sit down together, just the two of them, whatever they're going to do. Tell us a little bit about what recommendations, what suggestions you might have.
Julie, he gets his romantic voice when he starts.
He does. He has it. He's actually very romantic. He really is. Yeah. Before I met him, a friend of mine knew he dated my friend's sister, and I'm not mentioning names on public air, but I actually met him before I met him. So he was working at a bar And my friend said, oh, see that guy over there? He dated my sister and he was very romantic. He used to bring her flowers all the time.
Oh, I know who it was. Yes. Okay. Never mind. Okay.
So I knew him as a romantic person before I even knew him. And then like 6 months later, I actually met him and I remembered, oh yeah, this is the romantic guy.
Yeah. And I've developed that voice. That voice has developed over the years.
Yes, you know? I can tell.
It talks more slowly. Well,
you leaned in even more closely when asking about romantic holidays.
So give us some thoughts. Give folks some ideas out there.
So here's the funny thing, right? When people think, especially New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, anniversaries, everyone's mind always goes to champagne, right? Sparkling wine, which I absolutely 100% agree. It's festive, it's exciting, like there's nothing better than the pop of a cork. But on the flip side, I truly believe, I'm going to generalize, all of us as Americans who are wine drinkers are not drinking enough champagne and sparkling wine because we think it needs to be an occasion. Like an anniversary and like New Year's Eve, but actually sparkling wine or champagne, right? Again, going back to Europe, we call it by the place. Champagne is from Champagne, France, bubbly wine. Mm-hmm. We can only call it champagne if it came from there. If we make bubbly wine here in California, we call it sparkling wine, but it's essentially the same thing. I can't call it champagne if it wasn't made in the Champagne place. Okay.
And what's Prosecco?
That's a region in Italy where they make a sparkling wine in Italy.
Okay.
Cava is sparkling wine from France. Sec is sparkling wine from Germany. So they all have a different name, which is one of the many reasons that wine is confusing. We call things differently depending on where they come from. But the bottom line is this, things with bubbles in them, and I'm not talking about $4 in 7-Eleven on New Year's Eve. That's crap. Don't buy that. That's why you get a headache.
Yeah,
but properly made sparkling wine or really bougie champagne is fantastic with, are you ready? Potato chips, nachos, a cheeseburger, because sparkling wine is known for being very think of how those bubbles feel in your mouth. It's bright and it has acidity and it cleanses your palate. So while we think, oh, yes, I need caviar with my champagne, amen, we do that on Christmas Eve, but try some sparkling wine with potato chips and your life will be changed. Fried chicken.
Oh, we could do that. What about Fritos? Can we go with Frito?
Absolutely. Okay. Salty, really like MSG, umami. Like sparkling wine is really, really versatile. And then I was thinking about, you know, when to recommend sparkling wine also sort of in the relationship cycle. So when I think back to when I was prospecting on Tinder and Match and eHarmony, because I was on all the things when I first moved out here, like that can be kind of tedious, like scrolling through and looking at the hot messes and the shit show and the dude with the selfie in the bathroom. And like, there's a lot of right? So if I'm going to sip on something while I'm looking to find a relationship, bubbles, because it's light, it's bright, it's gonna cleanse my palate in between John and Justin that I've swiped left on.
Oh my goodness.
I love that. It's just me sitting all in my pajamas.
It's a swiping. Yes. So it goes with swiping. Sparkling wine goes with swiping for all you folks out there who are swiping.
Palate. It cleanses the palate. It cleanses the moment. We all need to drink it more than we do. It's overlooked. It does not just have to be for an occasion.
I'm going
to
make a note of that. Yep. So what would you suggest? I know I've been to some like bridal showers and people do the wine. Here is the wine for the baby. Here's the wine for the first fight. What wine would you suggest for the first fight?
What's a fight? What do you mean? I don't know what that is.
What you're gonna have? Your first fight. What you're gonna have? You know, it's like a door ding, and when you get your new car, it's better just to get the door ding out of the way, and then your car is baptized. It's good. So you're gonna have your first fight. You're gonna get married. You're gonna have a fight.
Yep.
What wine should you open to seal the deal of the first fight?
Yeah. Well, we know that after the fight, it can go one way or the other. There's either the makeup happening, which we hope, or there's
the breakup.
He left and I'm door dashing Chinese food and finishing the wine on the couch.
Let's go with the makeup side.
Yeah, we're going with the makeup side.
I'm sure you guys are. I'm going Pinot Noir. Why? Because Pinot Noir is sexy.
Okay.
It's generally lighter and generally will have less alcohol than a bigger, darker wine. Okay. So if we need to sort of keep our wits about us while mm-hmm. we're being emotional and working okay. through whatever we're working through, but then hopefully going to transition into a positive evening. Pinot Noir is sexy. It's silky. It's spicy. You can find it relatively anywhere, and much of it is good, and you don't have to spend a lot of money for it. So might be good to have multiple bottles for the second.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking is like a few bottles of Pinot Noir, a few bottles of bubbly, and then some of your wine.
Yeah.
Well, I have another question.
Okay.
For someone like me, I'm a whiskey drinker, right?
Yeah,
so if I'm going out to dinner and I'm going to have a glass of whiskey before dinner, but everyone's going to get wine for the table, so I'm going to have a glass of wine. Should I worry or should I think about what kind of wine comes to dinner after I've had my, you know, whatever, my Four Roses or my Buffalo Trace or whatever it is I've had beforehand?
Well, it makes my heart happy that you're asking this question, that you're actually concerned about the wine that's coming after the whiskey to make sure that you're ordering it.
I just thought I should ask it.
Putting it in context, right?
Here's the thing
about here's the thing about whiskey, right? You may or may not know, but this is probably one of the things you love about it. Bourbon goes down this road too, right? The way that they are made in barrels and oak and charred on the inside, like whiskey and especially going into bourbon, really have that caramely note to them, right? So now you've kind of got that in your mouth. If you had a super delicate white wine, like a Sauvignon Blanc or a Viognier or even a Chardonnay, it might get a little bit lost because you've sort of conditioned your palate with
your
the rich.
Yeah.
So you need to go heavier than the whiskey and something with some oak on it. And generally, Cabernet Sauvignon, especially if it's from Napa cabs are generally aged in oak barrels and newer barrels, just like whiskey and bourbon, because that is giving oakiness and caramely and mocha and toasty notes. So I would continue that theme if you're starting with whiskey.
I love that.
And just go to your Napa cab, which is probably what you're going to want at the steakhouse anyway, right?
Okay.
Yes, I love that.
So let me ask you one other thing for folks that are out there that are not particularly educated in the wine world. So you go into a restaurant and you want to order a bottle of wine and they have a wine list. And, you know, the list might be anywhere from $20 or $30 or $40 a bottle to $600 or $700 a bottle, whatever it might be. And you don't know too much about wine. You know, I don't know if it matters where we are having dinner, but what do you tell those folks who are, maybe they're on a date, maybe they're with their family, maybe they're with friends, but what do you tell those folks about what to look for? You know, because you see what happens, right? They bring the wine over, the person smells it, they drink it, they say it's great, unless it's somebody like Julie's cousin who once sent the bottle back. But you know, what do folks do? I mean, you look at a list, you don't know what the heck it is. Most of us have no idea. So what do you tell those people? You know, how do you pick a wine? What do you look for?
I'll tell you exactly that answer. Hold on. My computer is plugged in and it's telling me low battery and I don't want to.
Okay. Well, plug in your computer.
It is plugged in. That's the crazy thing. Hold on. She's plugged in. Hold that thought. Cause that's a great question.
No worries. We can edit.
Let me just check on the other end.
Take your time.
Yep. This is good wine.
Oh no.
Cheers.
We might finish this tonight. It's very good.
It's delicious. We're already we're scheming about a second glass.
Oh, you should. No scheming. Do it. Okay.
Yeah, so we're scheming about
that. Here's what people should look for, especially if you're the head of the table or the person that's kind of doing the ordering, right? When it's me being a big wine nerd, I'm like, me, give me the binder. I'm going to spend 30 minutes looking through it. But I know that that's not normal, right? So here's what you look for. Help. You look for either a well-trained server. So if it's a nice-ish restaurant or better, the server, or if it's a really nice restaurant, they're going to have a sommelier, right? Or a wine steward. people get intimidated by them and think like, oh, it's a salesperson who's going to try to push something on me. They are really there to help you. If you know like four little bits of information, first and foremost, tell them how much you're wanting to spend. Mm-hmm. Do you want to spend 40? Do you want to spend 140? Do you want to spend 400? Right away, give them some guidance, right? Mm-hmm. And then use your wine words like, Julie, I want something smooth. Or I want something oaky because I love whiskey and bourbon, right? Give the professional that's there. And again, the majority of Russians are going to have this. Let them guide you. It takes the pressure off of you. Mm-hmm. And also, if you are gathering with friends and family, the last thing you want to be doing is sitting there flipping pages, looking for something that's familiar that you've heard of, right?
Yeah. So this is another metaphor, which is what you just told us, which is, tell them what feels good to you.
Mm-hmm.
If Use I want something sweet, if I want something dry, if I want something caramelly, if I want something smooth. So again, we work with couples to, you know, like you said, use your words. So tell them what you want and be direct about it and then let them help you.
Amen. It's as simple as that.
Don't be afraid because, you know, you're in a restaurant and, you know, whatever it is, the dinners are $60 or $70, $50, whatever it might be or more. And you don't want to look cheap. Most people want to, but at the same time, they do have a budget in their head.
Yeah.
So you're saying to them, don't worry about it, right? It's your money. Tell them what you're looking for, what you like, and then hopefully they take it from there.
Yeah. And it might the other thing that can help you too is if you've had a wine, next time you have one, you're like, gosh, I really like that. Take a picture of it, right? Yeah. I use this app called Vivino. I wish I had invented this app. I would like have retired by now. I have no ties to them, but I use it all the time to keep track. Tell the server or the somm, hey, one time I had this, you know, Pride Mountain Vineyards Syrah, and I don't know what I liked about it, but I loved it. Do you have anything that's kind of like that? Any server or somm with any type of training is going to be able to hone in very quickly if you just give them a benchmark.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Well, I love talking to you about wine and relationships and mixing up the metaphors in that. Mm-hmm. And this has been an amazing podcast.
It really
has.
One more question.
Oh, boy. He's going long.
Are we done already? See, mine are an hour long, but now you know why.
Our folks have shorter attention spans. Nothing personal to anybody out there.
My folks are all drunk while they're listening, so they got time.
Perfect. But let's say, can someone come and visit your winery?
Yes. People can come and visit me in two ways. So I still work a couple days a week as a wine educator at Pride Mountain Vineyards. Mm-hmm. I work for the Pride family. It's up on the top of the mountain here in Napa and Sonoma, and I can do a full tasting on this mountaintop with caves and all of that.
I want to come.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Come, let me know. And people should reach out to me too, just if they're coming out here, because I can give suggestions on an itinerary. Tell me what you like, and I'll tell you where you should go. My wine, Solovato, we don't have a winery, a brick and mortar yet. We make our wine, we're so small, at someone else's winery. That's called a custom crush. When you have people with normal jobs, like a nurse and a wine educator who are not starting this with a huge fortune, you do a custom crush where you basically pay rent and make your wine in another space. The winery where I make my wine is called Tres Sabores. So Spanish for the three flavors, Tres Sabores. It's in the Napa Valley in Santa Elena. It's a very cute little boutique winery. They do their own tastings there. But I can also host tastings for Solovato at that winery as well.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah. We got to plan a trip.
And we can taste that in the barrel and the stuff that's not even done yet.
We're
going to
do it.
All of it.
Can I
bring a flask with me for the whiskey part?
Sure.
You and Michael will be great. You guys will be over there with your Buffalo Trace or your Pappy Van whoever. Doing your thing.
So we will include all of your information in the show notes, but tell us how best to get in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how to get your wine.
Yeah. Yes. So first and foremost, Solovato, which by the way is Italian for joyful and uplifted. And the secondary meaning of Solovato is relieved and no longer worried. And we landed on that name after the fire because we were looking for something that spoke to our trauma and our experience we had been to. And we wanted to be in Italian. So after lots of searching, Solovato, joyful, uplifted, relieved, no longer worried. Solovatowines.com is our website. People can purchase one bottle, a case, however they want to do it. We can ship across the country. And if your listeners use the code PODLISTENER, I will give them 10% off their purchase.
Awesome.
Just as a thank you. And then the other way to learn and have a relationship with me virtually is to be a listener on my podcast, which again is Sip with Nikki. Weekly episodes every Monday. And they go back and forth between like a short sort of tutorial of pairing, right? And then I also have guests and interview different winemakers and chefs and restaurant people and all of that.
Well, I hope you'll expand to maybe relationship experts and have us on your podcast.
Done and done.
I've listened to several of your episodes in preparation for having you on today. And folks, let me just tell you, this is Solovato, S-O-L-L-E-V as in Victor, A-T-O. Again, it'll be in the show notes. Be sure when you're done listening to this, click over to Sip with Nikki and listen to her show as well. We are the Bullets, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S on every single social media platform that one human can come up with, including Pinterest, which continues to surprise me. So Nikki, again, thank you so much for being with us. Everyone, we will see and hear from you next time. Go get yourself a bottle of Solovato, get a case, and connect with Nikki. Go to California, have her show you what drinking wine ought to be like, not the stuff with the twist off tops. We are the Bullets, and this is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullet is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullet is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.